We're going to do a two-week series called I Heart My Church. And so the next few weeks we're going to be talking about, and when we look at I Heart My Church, one of the main things we're going to be focusing on is us serving in the body of Christ. And we're going to look at, and I believe two things are going to happen as we look at this, amen. Number one, I believe that if you've been serving in the church, you're going to continue to be inspired to stay plugged in. You're going to continue to serve in the place that God has put you, and you're going to continue to be a blessing not only to your pastors, but to this body and to those that are in need. I also believe that if you're not plugged in and not currently serving, that the Holy Spirit is going to move on your heart, and you're going to say, you know what? I've got a supply to give. God's put something inside of me, a gifting, a talent, an ability, and I'm no longer going to withhold it from this body, but instead I'm going to present it to this body, and I'm going to allow God to use my talents, my abilities, my giftings to help build the plan of God in the world in which we live. Hallelujah. One thing I want you to understand is that every single person is important to the call. Every single person is important to the plan of God. Nobody's excluded. You know, the Bible says that all are called, but few are chosen. And I began to research that scripture so many years ago, and it was just kind of frustrating me. And so I began to do some research, and the way that that scripture actually is interpreted and what he's saying is, listen, I've called everybody. All are called. I've called everybody and placed a call on the inside of them, but only a few will choose to respond to that call. Now, lots of times we think the only calling God has is the fivefold ministry gift. That's not true. There's a real calling to the ministry of helps. And the reason, hallelujah, there's a real calling to the ministry of helps. We don't have time to look at it. We looked at it a couple years ago when we did I Heart My Church the first time. But you remember Jesus, the very first thing he did, you know, he's baptized in the water. He came up and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, you know, just came down and sat down right on him. And then immediately he was launched out into ministry. You remember the first thing he did? He went down by the river and began to get disciples. Why? Because he knew in order for the plan to be built in the earth, he was going to need help. There is a calling for the ministry of helps, and God's put that calling on the inside of every single one of us. We have to understand the pastoral gift and the fivefold ministry gifts are not the only calling in the body of Christ, but God has called everyone. And now we've entered into a time where everybody must respond to that call. No longer neglecting the body of Christ from your giftings and your talents and your abilities that God's put on the inside of you. I like to say it this way. You have a spiritual DNA, and the church needs that spiritual DNA. Amen? And you've got to find a way to be happy with who God made you. Just like you got to find a way to be happy with your natural DNA. You got to find a way to be happy with your height. You got to find a way. Listen to me, hallelujah. And sometimes I get it. You know, your natural DNA is not always the most satisfying thing in the world. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. I've moved, glory to God, from a 3 to a 5 on my forehead size. My natural DNA, hallelujah. I used to be a 3, glory to God, and now there's room for 5. Amen. I'm just grateful it's not a 7. Hallelujah. Amen. But what am I saying? Finding a way to be satisfied with who God made me. Because the scriptures say that God has placed everybody in the body, here we go, as it's pleasing to him. So if it's pleasing to God, it should be pleasing to me. If he's called me to usher, I'm going to be pleased with that because God's put me there. If he's called me to the nursery, I'm going to be pleased with that. That's my spiritual DNA. I'm not going to try to change it, but instead I'm going to embrace it and I'm going to run with it so I can add my ability, my talent, my supply so the plan of God can grow. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. Every single one of us is important to this plan. Now, y'all, I know I'm wearing jeans. Hallelujah. I asked Pastor, just go with it, amen. Not doing my own. I heard some of you, I'm going to tell. No, he already knows. Pastor knows. I got his permission, amen. So y'all don't let it hinder you from receiving this morning. God's good. Same anointing, pants or dress slacks, amen. Hallelujah. You've got to decide that you're important to the body. Whether it's nursery, whether it's cleaning, whether it's parking lot, whether it's sound, whether it's praise and worship, whether it's teaching or preaching, you are important to the body. And God needs you to build the plan. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 14 out of the NIV. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service. Everyone say works of service. so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we'll no longer be like infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, hallelujah, we will grow to become more or become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The Apostle Paul's telling this church, he's saying, listen, every single person is vital. Every single person is a part of the plan. He gave us the fivefold ministry gifts, and then he begins to describe what their job is in the body. Their job is to equip us, to help us grow, to feed us the word, and to equip us for these acts of service. And then he begins to tell everybody else, now your job is to take that equipment and do something with it. So the whole body can be full of love so that the ligaments are holding itself together and the whole body is in unity and growing in love. When you look at it this way, you begin to understand in this light, in the church, it's extremely important because without your service, the body isn't able to move or grow like it's supposed to. See, no one can replace you. And that's your superpower. There's only one of you. Amen. Now, you're supposed to be the most holy, sanctified version of you. But only you can be you. And no one can take your place in this body. No one has the talents and abilities that God's put on the inside of you. And I'm telling you, by the word of God, He's put them there for a reason. As Pastor Mark's been preaching, there is a purpose for everything God does. And there's a purpose for your gifting and your talent and ability. Ephesians 4, 17 through 13 out of the Message Bible says He handed out gifts of apostles, prophet, evangelist, and pastor teacher to train Christ followers in skilled servant work. Everyone say works of service. Working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving in unison and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within, without, fully alive like Christ. Amen. We are supposed to be growing in love, and we have to understand whether you've been serving for 10 years or whether you've never served a minute in your life, you are vital to the plan. And God can't grow the plan without you. As I said before, I believe you're going to be inspired this morning to stay connected or inspired this morning to get connected because God needs you. Everyone say, God needs me. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 28. Out of New Living Translation, it says, now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. I put that all in caps in my notes, necessary. Hallelujah. And all of you are a separate and necessary part of it. Here's a list of some of the members that God has placed in the body of Christ. First, the apostles. Second, the prophets. Third, the teachers. Then those who do miracles. Those who have the gift of healing. Those who can help others. Those who can get others to work together. And those who speak in unknown languages. Listen, even though we're all a separate part of the body, we're all a necessary part of the body. I want to read that same scripture out of the Amplified. It says this in 1 Corinthians 12, 27. It says, now you collectively are Christ's body, and individually you are members of it. Here we go. Each with his own special purpose and function. Every single one of us has our own purpose and our own function. And when we find that purpose and we find that function, the ministry can begin to grow. Let me give you a quick example of this. I remember when I first moved here, Pastor Rhonda was telling me the story about when she was the youth pastor of Cornerstone Word of Life Church. And these are her words, not mine. She said, I hated them and they hated me. Why? That wasn't her purpose or her function. But she was operating in that purpose and in that function because there wasn't anybody else to do it. Hallelujah. But then the Lord brought me, hallelujah, to step in to fulfill my purpose and my function here at Cornerstone Word of Life Church so Pastor Rhonda can move on to her purpose and her function. See, when we all get in our place and begin doing our work, everything can grow and thrive because I don't hate them and they don't hate me. Hallelujah. I love them and they love me and they're going to keep loving me. Amen. Why? Because it's my purpose and it's my function. Praise the Lord. And as we get in our place, everything's in unison and everything begins to grow and work in harmony with each other. Amen? It's kind of like this toy Lego train. This thing's super impressive. Someone gave this to Samuel a couple years ago. And hallelujah, on the box, when we got it, it said 864 pieces. Mm-hmm. That was my reaction too. Opened it, I was like, oh, that hurt just a little bit. Now, I want to tell you the truth about Legos, glory to God. You know what these are? These are little death traps around your house. That's all it is. Legos, just one giant death trap, glory to God. I'm always one Lego away from a cuss word. I'm just teasing. I'd never cuss, glory to God. But you understand what I'm saying? You ever stepped on one of these at midnight? Woo, Jesus, hallelujah. We got Christians some magnetiles or something like that. They're these little magnetic building sets. And he's got them for Christmas, and he loves building with them. And they're glow in the dark. I love those suckers, man, because I'll get up to use the restroom or something, and I can see every single one of them on the floor where he left them. Praise Jesus. Why don't these glow in the dark? Hallelujah. Just little glowing in the dark death traps so that way I don't step on one. Amen. But anyways, this was 864 pieces. I sat down at the kitchen table for 4 hours and assembled this thing. Now, you know what's interesting about this thing is there's certain parts that you can see and certain parts that you can't see. But every single one of them was vital to build this train. I remember, you know, I skipped one little detail. I didn't see it in the instructions, and I got about 4 pages later, and things weren't fitting together real. They weren't fitting together the way they were supposed to. This is true. I had to go back and disassemble the pieces that I put together and get to the piece that I skipped so I could build the rest of it. Listen to me. Every Lego, every piece, no matter how big, no matter how small, whether it's seen or unseen, every piece of this train is vital to make this train. Amen. And we have to understand that this train isn't complete if there's part of it that's missing. But when every part's there, listen, he's got a track at home. This sucker's got a motor in it with a remote control. You put it down on that track, it can pull the 4 other trains right behind it. I mean, this thing is powerful and it accomplishes what it was designed to accomplish because it was assembled the way it was supposed to be. It was built by the instructions and by the plan of God. And as each piece was put in its place, I was able to assemble it and look at the finished result. Listen to me now. God is building something. And in order for him to build it complete and build it the way he wants it built, we all have to get into our place. We all have to bring our supply and begin to do our part so the work can grow in the earth. Isn't that what the church is for? To expand God's kingdom in the earth. Hallelujah, but you're a part of that. Romans 12, 4 through 6, out of the Message Bible, it says this. In this way, like the various parts of the human body, each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. Guess what? This body as a whole gives us our individual meaning. Amen. It's not the other way around. This body as a whole gives us our meaning. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and our function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into these excellently formed and marvelously functioned parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be. Without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something that we aren't. I love the way that is worded. It is so powerful. Since we found out that we are these wonderfully fashioned parts of the body of Christ, let's just go ahead and be who we're supposed to be. Not enviously or prideful of somebody else's position, but instead just excited about who God made me. Amen. You ought to be naturally comfortable in your skin, and you ought to be spiritually comfortable in your skin. You know, when Ted and the praise and worship team are up here singing and they're really hitting it, that's not a moment for you to say, you know what, I could do that better. You know what? And there may be an element of truth to it, but with that heart, it'll never happen. When pastor's up here preaching and the word of God is flowing out of him and people's lives are being changed and the Holy Spirit's doing some work in people's hearts, I shouldn't be sitting in the sound room thinking, oh, I'm so jealous of that. I'm so envious of that. No, I've been given a position And I love that position, amen? And I'm just going to sit back there, and maybe without ever saying a word, I'm going to cheerlead, man, inside of me. Go get them, Pastor, hallelujah. Bring that word. Come on now, minister that word. Why? Because I know my role. I'm comfortable in my spiritual skin. And as I do that, everything can grow and be in unison and flourish the way it's supposed to. Amen. Be comfortable with who you are and who God called you to be. And we said it before, you be the most holy version of that person. But be comfortable. Let's keep reading Romans 12, 6 through 13 out of the message. I love this. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. You know, it's just easy to pick on the praise and worship team because I'm on the stage, hallelujah, and all of y'all get to see them every single. But maybe, you know, you're like, wow, I just want to be a member of the praise and worship team. I'll do whatever. And so Ted says, all right, get in the choir. And you get in the choir, and after 6 months, Ted's like, you know what? I want to give you a microphone. You ought not see it as that gold microphone from American Idol. This is my moment. Praise the Lord. And Ted's up here, hallelujah, and he's singing and he's giving instructions. And then here you come with your gold microphone. And you get in front of Ted, and you start circling, and you start dancing, and you start singing, and you start rejoicing. Listen to me. You didn't get that microphone so you could take over. Woo, some of you better say Jesus so everyone else doesn't know I'm talking to you. Hallelujah. Say Jesus. Hallelujah, amen. You didn't get that microphone because now you've been promoted to take over. No, you got that microphone because God's trying to bring something out of you to be a blessing, and the way in God's kingdom up is down. Amen. And so I said, woo, I got a microphone. Tell what you want me to sing. I didn't get that to take over. I got that to be a vital part of the body. Amen. When I'm ushering, amen. I didn't become an usher to take because I like, let's read this. I like this. Glory to God. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. Amen. I know there's an anointing for ushers. Hallelujah. This is your seat. Mm-mm. Yeah, this is your seat. Mm-mm. Yeah, no, it's okay. It's going to be all right. Glory to God. This is your seat. Mm-mm. You know, in that moment, you're there to encourage. Not to become bossy. Sit down. You know, you're not there to be bossy. You're there to encourage and say, this is the way. Amen. You know, you got to decide. I know the Bible says God was heard in the thunder, but he was also heard in the whisper, y'all. There's anointings for this. When you're given a position to give guidance and encouragement, don't get bossy with that position. Understand you're there for a reason and a purpose. I get it. You put the ropes up because you don't want no one sitting there. And when they get on the other side of the ropes, hallelujah, it's awkward. You're like, I see you. Praise anyone sitting on the other side of the ropes. I apologize this morning. Praise Jesus. I saw some of you looking at them ropes. You're like, whew. I was tested this morning. You chose wisely. Hallelujah. But listen, there's anointings for these things. And God shows us how to function in those anointings. Not to take over, not to be bossy, not to push my agenda or my way, but to grow the kingdom. Amen. Let's keep going. I hear you all say move on. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Everyone say smile. Love them from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Now, I want to talk to you about serving, glory to God. When you serve, you're giving out every single Sunday morning. When you serve, you're giving out every single Wednesday night. And if you don't replenish, you'll get burned out. Amen. See, we've got to be sure that we have an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ outside of the church. Listen, Sunday morning and Wednesday nights, glory to God, y'all smile, hallelujah. Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, it's not enough. You know, over in Galatians 6:9, he says, don't become weary in well-doing. If you're constantly giving and giving and giving, but you're never fellowshipping with God, you will become weary in well-doing. Why has the devil set it up that way? Because he wants to steal your anointing and your gifting and your function and your purpose from the body of Christ. Amen. And I love what the scripture said. It said, keep yourselves. Keep yourselves. Well, pastor just hasn't given me an attaboy lately. If you need an attaboy every single week, lest you're going to quit, well, then guess what? That's on you, not on him. Preach. All right, I will. Glory to God. If you need Pastor Mark or Pastor Rhonda to get up here and tell the church how wonderful you are, if they don't say that I'm doing a good job this week, I quit. The Bible says keep yourself aflame. Keep yourself built up and on fire. Keep yourself excited and enthusiastic about your call and your position in the church. Glory to God. Listen, I love it when Pastor Mark says, ooh, Robert's doing a good job. I mean, who wouldn't like that? Yay! You know, I mean, we all love that, but we don't need that. And the reason we don't need that is because even though they're a beneficiary of our works of service, we're doing it because of God. Not because of them. So it doesn't matter if we're ever recognized by our pastors, God sees it all. Amen. And it doesn't matter because we know. I said we know we're vital to the plan. Amen. I know that God is using my giftings, my talents, my abilities to build his kingdom in the earth. And that is reward enough. Amen. Glory to God. Be alert. I love this. Be alert, servants of the master. That just reaffirms what I just said. We're servants of God. Amen. Be alert, servants of the master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. I love that. When you serve in the church, that's exactly what you're doing. Listen, everybody that walks through those doors doesn't have it together. But as we serve, we make an opportunity for God to help them. Come on now. God loves people so much and he wants to bless them. He wants to fix everything, perfect everything that concerns them. And as you serve in the body, you give an opportunity to God to minister to a needy Christian. Somebody who's maybe just run down, or maybe they have grown weary, or maybe things haven't been going their way and they've kind of lost their way and they've turned away from God. As you serve, you build an atmosphere for God to do something amazing in their life and in their hearts. Don't tell me you're not important. You are important. Every single person is important. Amen. God is the master builder. Every parent just thought of the Lego movie right there. Amen. God is the master builder, and he has brought all of us together here at Cornerstone to do our part and to build the plan. You have a purpose and a function. Amen. Let's go to Exodus 31. You know, this morning is a wonderful example of it. You know, You can't do what someone else is doing, amen? You got to be you and only you. I turned to Ted. I said, I can't sing. Glory to God. Just take it. Go. And he does. He's wonderful. Does a wonderful job. But we understand that we need each other. Amen. You can take us somewhere that I can't take us right now. So go, amen? Let's go. Let's run. Hallelujah. Over here in Exodus 31, it says, the Lord also said to Moses, look, I have chosen, everyone say, I'm important. I have chosen Bezalel, the son of Uri, the grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, given him great wisdom, intelligence, and skill of all kinds of crafts. He is able to create beautiful objects from gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in cutting and setting gemstones and in carving wood. Yes, he's a master at every craft. And I've appointed that guy right there, the son of that dude over there, of the tribe of Dan. He is to be his assistant. Moreover, y'all caught that. Hallelujah. Moreover, I have given special skill to all the naturally talented craftsmen. I love this. So they can make all the things I've instructed you to make. Hallelujah. See, God has given instructions to Pastor Mark and Pastor Rhonda to build something and to build it a certain way. And just like God spoke to Moses and said, I'm bringing all these wonderfully craftsmen around here who are talented in all these natural things. I've brought them to help you build the things I've instructed you to make. Let's keep reading. So cool. He says this. And then he begins to describe some of the things. The tabernacle itself, the Ark of the Covenant. You know, God instructed them to build the Ark of the Covenant. What was the Ark of the Covenant? Basically, it was a box that housed the presence of God. This is a box that houses the presence of God. And how'd you get the presence of God? And the Ark of the Covenant. They threw the Word in it, and they threw the Spirit of God in it, and bam, you had the presence of God. Guess what's in this box? The Word of God and the presence of God. Therefore, we have the Spirit of God. Therefore, we have the presence of God. Amen. Pastor's been downloaded with that vision. I'm building the Ark of the Covenant, but I need everybody's help in doing it. Glory to God. And then he keeps going. He says, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark's cover, the place of the atonement, the furnishings in the tabernacle, the table and all of its utensils, the gold lampstands with all of its accessories, the incense altar of the burnt offering with all of its utensils, and the washbin and its pedestal. Verse 10, the beautifully stitched holy garments for Aaron and all the priests, the garments of his sons to wear as they minister as the priest, the anointing oil and the special incense for the holy place. Here we go. They must follow exactly all the instructions I have given you. See, it's important as we study serving in the body of Christ and adding our supply, that as God, as we step into things and serving, it's important to remember that where the vision comes from. God will download the vision to our pastors, and then the pastors will download the vision to us. Then we take that vision and we run with it. Amen. We're not here pushing our agenda, trying to take over and trying to manifest our vision within the church. We're here to take the vision that God has given our pastors, and then we're taking that vision and running with it. It's like if Pastor Mark were to come down here and, you know, he tells the praise and worship team, hey, I want you to go back to that song, No Other Name. Play No Other Name. You know, that's not the right opportunity for Doppel or for Ted to say, you know, Pastor, I'm really feeling spirit break out. Now, listen, when he was standing down there, a vision dropped in on the inside of him where God said, the anointing's on that song, and I need that anointing to destroy some yokes and some burdens. I need the anointing to do some things in this place. So Pastor comes up here with the vision and the knowing that the anointing's on a particular song. He communicates that vision to Ted and the praise and worship team. They have an obligation to take that vision and to run with it. To build the tabernacle, to build the plan exactly the way God instructed them to build it. Amen. Let's go over to 1 Samuel 14. Remember what he said in Ephesians 4. Their responsibility is to equip us, to give us the vision, and then we run with it. Amen. Over here in 1 Samuel 14, 6 through 7, I'll give you the backstory. There's this war going on. Hallelujah, because it's the Old Testament. Amen. And it seems like that happened a lot. Aren't you grateful for the new covenant? Amen. And so there's this great war going on. And you know the Israelites, the Hebrew children, they weren't armed with weapons because the Philistines didn't allow them to have blacksmiths. Because the Philistines were afraid, if we give them blacksmiths, they'll be able to make swords and spears and shields and weapons. And so in order to keep them under our thumb, we're just going to pass a law where they're not allowed to have any blacksmiths. And so if you look at this, Saul had 600 men, and the only two people among those 600 men that had swords were Saul himself and Jonathan. And then all of a sudden you have this army that's coming against the Israelites and coming against the people of God. And then we pick up the story right here where Jonathan comes up with this daring plan. And so here in verses 6 through 7 out of New Living Translation, it says, let's go across to see these pagans, Jonathan said to his armor bearer. What's an armor bearer? An armor bearer is one who's been called to serve. Amen. And so remember where vision comes from. It comes from the head. The head communicates it to those who are called to serve, and then those who are called to serve run with it. Can I get a witness? Amen. Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few. Now, I love the response of the armor bearer. Do what you think is best, the youth replied. I am with you completely, whatever you decide. Ooh, glory to God. Just put yourself in this armor bearer's shoes just for a second. You have this great army that's assembled against you, and all you have is two swords. And in this case, all you have is one sword because Saul's not there. You only have Jonathan's sword. And that your armor bearer or your leader says, let's go and take the fight to him. I'd be like, yeah, go, dude. I'm staying by the campfire. Glory to God. But his armor bearer said, no, I'm with you completely. Amen. Trusting in the vision and trusting in the leadership where the vision came from. Amen. If you go and you continue to read this story, you'll see that this was not an easy task. They had to climb up. The enemy had a strategical advantage because they had the height. And not only that, but the Bible says that it was jagged, sharp cliffs that they had to climb up. Listen, as we serve, it's not always easy. That's why I would encourage you, you don't serve in the natural, you serve by the supernatural. Amen. We know the three different types of grace, right? There's saving grace, there's standing grace, and there's serving grace. How do you access it? Well, the same way you access your salvation. Amen. Through faith, by grace, you were saved. You access grace through faith. Amen. And I'm going to access serving grace every single time I show up to church. Hallelujah. I am grace to serve. What am I doing? I'm releasing my confession of faith. I am grace. I have Pastor Mark and Pastor Rhonda grace. Glory to God. You serve by faith. And when you serve by faith, you won't be irritated. I can't believe Pastor asked me to put up ropes. Doesn't he know that people are going to look at me weird? Doesn't he know that people are going to crawl underneath those ropes? Doesn't he know that it's going to be awkward when I see someone on the other side of the rope and they wave at me and I'm going to be like, eh? Doesn't he know? Doesn't he know? What is that? That's not serving by faith. That's not serving by grace, amen? Serving by faith is, all right, they want me to, why? Well, you may not know this, hallelujah, this is kind of, but Pastor Mark, it helps him to preach when most of us are up front instead of in the back. I don't know about you, but I want the best every Sunday and every Wednesday. So if it helps my pastor to preach when everybody's up front instead of in the back, then guess what? I'll put up every rope I need to put up. See, but we shouldn't need that explanation. We should just put up the ropes because our leaders have asked for the ropes, right? Just like John, now don't, I'm not losing y'all. Come on now, stick with me, amen. Amen, it's not always easy to serve, glory to God. But just like Jonathan's armor bearer, okay, you want ropes up? Let's put up ropes. Glory to God, amen. You want to go take this fight to the pagans? Let's take the fight to them. Pastor says, hey, we're taking the fight to the devil. Guess what you ought to do? I don't know, Pastor. No, we're taking the fight to the devil. Glory to God. Why? Because the vision comes. Now let's look, see what happens when the leader and his armor bearer ran with the vision, verse 20 through 23. Then Saul and all of his men rushed out to the battle and found the Philistines killing each other. There was terrible confusion everywhere. Even the Hebrews who had previously gone over to the Philistine army revolted and joined with Saul and Jonathan and the rest of the Israelites. Likewise, the men of Israel who were hiding in the hill country of that place right there joined in the chase when they saw the Philistines running away. So the Lord saved Israel that day. I love that. See, when we come in and we grab the vision that's being given forth, whether it's a vision for the youth ministry, the praise and worship team, whether it's a vision for the sound guy, for the nurseries, for the parking lot, for the ushers, the coffee house, when we come in and we grab a vision, what we are doing, we're creating an atmosphere for God to win some great battles that day. Maybe somebody's been having a battle in their mind or in their family. Maybe a battle at their job. When you serve in the church, you're creating an atmosphere for that battle to be won. When you grab a hold of the vision and you take it and you run with it, you're creating an atmosphere for God to come in with his anointing and remove yokes of bondage and to take burdens off of people's lives. Listen to me. You are so important in the body of Christ. I can't do what you can do and you can't do what I can do. Amen. I remember when I was flying down here, just a quick story for you. I remember when I was flying down to interview for the youth pastor job and the guy on the plane, he asked me, he said, what's your vision for the youth ministry? Ooh, I felt so bad. I had no vision. You know what I mean? And he was just like, well, what are you going to do? What's your vision for the students of that church? And I didn't have an answer for him. And I felt so terrible. But you know what? I come to find out that that was actually the place I was supposed to be at. Because I wasn't supposed to come in here with Robert's vision for Blaze Youth Ministries. I was supposed to come in here and receive the vision that Pastor Mark and Pastor Rhonda had for Blaze Youth Ministries. And as I grab a hold of that vision and run, you know what it did? It brought increase to the body of Christ. Amen. And we have families in the church today that are a byproduct of us running with that vision given by our pastors. Listen to me. We grab the vision that's given and we run with it and God will grow the plan. Glory to God. So what are our takeaways from today? Next week, we're going to be looking at the benefits of serving because there are some great benefits. Glory to God. But number one, pastors will equip you for works of service, but you must put that equipment to work and begin to serve. Pastors will equip you for service. Let me ask you this question. What good's a sword if it stays in the sheath? No, it's there to fight with it. Amen. What good are your talents and your abilities if they just stay inside of you? No, they're there for a purpose, to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Get them out. If you're serving, continue to serve. Hallelujah. If you're not serving, ask the Lord, where do you want me to plug in? How do you want me to get connected? Begin to use the equipment that you receive every Sunday morning. Use that equipment to help grow the plan and the work of God in the earth today. Number two, we have a great part in building this plan, but we need to be enthusiastic about it, and we need to be excited where God's placed us in His body. Not envious, not jealous. I'm satisfied with who I am, spiritually speaking, and in the place that God's called me to be. Amen. And number three, when we follow the vision laid out before us by our pastors, great battles will be won. The church will be in unison and experience great growth. And that's really what it's about, y'all. It's about growing God's kingdom in the earth that we live in. God's kingdom, if you look, you read all through the Old Covenant, all through the New Testament, God's kingdom was only expanded when people grabbed a hold of it and ran with it. Now He's asking you, Cornerstone. And this is our responsibility. I believe this about this church. It's supposed to be a pillar of truth, a pillar of light, a cornerstone, not just for you, but a cornerstone for this community. In order for this church to grow, to become that cornerstone for this community, the message must grow, the kingdom of God must grow, and the only way that happens is by all of us getting involved and saying, what's my part? See, listen, you can be the best usher, and God can put some talents and some abilities in you to ush like nobody's ever ushered before, but if you just sit there and never put that talent and ability to work, then the body of Christ is never going to be blessed by that gifting inside of you. Amen. You can be the best sound person. You know, God's given you an ear. God's given you a talent to mix sound, to know the different parts, to flow with the praise and worship team. Maybe He's put that talent and that ability on the inside of you. But if you just sit there and you don't get involved, you're robbing that blessing from the church. You're making it harder for the kingdom of God to grow in the earth. So I encourage you today, if you're not serving, search your heart. Where am I supposed to plug in? Get plugged in. Grab the vision of that area and run with it. And watch God win some battles and grow the church. Everyone say, I'm important to the plan. So what we did this morning is we've set up tables at the back of the room. And at those tables, we have different areas. Those tables will be, there'll be people back there that can answer questions for you, help you get signed up. If you're not serving, I encourage you to go back there and sign up. And if you sign up, that doesn't mean that you're going to serve every Sunday. Doesn't mean you're going to serve every Wednesday. It just means that you're willing to investigate being a part of the team. Amen? And I guarantee you, I only want to usher. God's only asked me to usher once a month. Guess what? They'll work with that. Amen? But what's most important is that you start bringing those giftings and abilities out of you so it can be a blessing to the body of Christ. Amen? We believe you're blessed to be a blessing. Go visit those tables before you leave. We'll see you Wednesday night. God bless. No, tonight at 6:00, come worship with us at Face to Face. And then after that, we'll see you Wednesday. We love you. Be blessed.